This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
News Radio 1070 WINA, this is Coy Barefoot, and we are joined on the long line from his office in Richmond, Senator Emmett Hanger of the 24th District of Virginia. Good afternoon, Senator.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
Well, Mondays are always rough. We got... The session is essentially 7 weeks long, and this is our sixth Monday. So making it through a Monday, I'm in good shape.
The first issue let's get to is, of course, transportation. The Senate has made headlines recently. The House put together a package and has sent it over to y'all. It looks like, you know, if you read the news accounts, it looks like all you senators are sort of split down the middle. Mm-hmm. What's it look like from your seat?
Well, it's... Actually, I'm very pleased that the House has sent a package over. As we've had this debate ongoing about transportation, there have been a number of initiatives that have been floated out from the House and Senate, but it was, you know, in terms of the volleying back and forth, it appeared to me that it was time for the House to initiate something. So they have, and this actually is not a House package per se. It's something that's been worked on by both sides in trying to come to an agreement, or at least enough agreement, that we would be able to pass something this year before we adjourn in another couple of weeks. So it's got its challenges, but it will at least be something for us to work from. And some of the elements of it I'm very supportive of. Others I certainly have reservations.
Well, flesh that out for us. What mm-hmm. what things in the package right now could you support, and what are the things that give you pause?
Okay, I guess the process itself is a little bit burdensome for us in that this particular bill is kind of a mega bill, in that a lot of things have been rolled into it. Very long bill, and it has typically here in Virginia we're pretty strict with our procedure in it. Based on our Constitution, in that we don't get into the types of activities that the federal government does, where you just roll lots and lots of things together, and in order to get what you want, you have to vote for a lot of things that you don't want. And this kind of has been put together in that way. Certain things that I support, the creation, actually, in Northern Virginia, we already have a transportation authority, but this really builds upon that and creates effectively a transportation authority in Northern Virginia that would have the ability to do quite a number of projects up there. And it also creates a transportation authority in the Hampton Roads area. And I'm supportive of both of those concepts. I think there's a lot of support for that now. Some of the problems in creating the authorities is the manner in which they can raise money. But it does create authorities in Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads, and in as much as those authorities will have the ability to move forward with some rather large projects, I'm supportive of that, particularly with the imposition of tolls for those large projects in Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads. There's also some dedicated funding that would pass through that authority for mass transit in Northern Virginia, support for the metro system and some other mass transit options that are available to us up there that need some attention. The other areas that are a little more, I guess, controversial is that the bill also includes a lot of new policy relative to growth management throughout the Commonwealth. And so those, my concern there, normally those types of initiatives would be in a standalone bill so that you could address those issues independently. There are at least three major policy components of land growth or management that are included in the package. One dealing with what's referred to as new urbanism, where localities through their comprehensive plans would create urban development areas. There's another section which would, in some localities, authorize the imposition of impact fees. And that's been very controversial in the past, but it's a part of this legislation. And there's also a provision that would create urban transportation service districts. So those are three elements of growth management, if you will, that are included within the bill, which have supporters and people who would oppose some of the concepts, specific concepts that are included in them.
Virginia Senator Emmett Hanger is our guest on Charlottesville right now. One thing I'd like to clear up is I think some of the press has painted Senator Chichester on one side as not being opposed to some type of sales tax on gasoline, and some of the others, Senator Norman and Stolle and Delegate Howell in the House, as being just anti-tax. But the package that has come to y'all actually does include taxes, and if you talk to a hotel owner in Williamsburg, for example, who might get hit twice. It's not really anti-tax versus no tax.
In fact, the consensus that's been achieved, and it's somewhat ironic here, is because, and I think it will help us ultimately to come to a solution. The debate in part in the past has been from one advocacy group that says, well, we need more money for transportation. And if we don't get it, we are going to be in significant trouble with the lack of adequate infrastructure around the state. And on the other side, those who said, oh, there's plenty of money there, it's just a matter of how you spend it, and we've got lots of extra money in the general fund, and so we don't need to raise any additional revenue. At this point, we've progressed to the point that I think everybody is concluding that, well, yeah, we do need more money, and even though we need to work on efficiencies, even though there are opportunities at every turn to save some money in the long run, there is additional money needed. And so the House proposal that's in front of us, and some people, you know, who have paid attention, at least from a partisan political perspective, have say now, well, it's the House against the Senate, and the House doesn't want to raise taxes, and the Senate does. Well, that's a little bit simplistic, because it's really a matter of how you raise the money. The House proposal that's in front of us now proposes to take a significant amount of money from the general fund and to float bonds, a couple $1 billion worth of bonds, to provide some funds. But of course, we all know that those bonds would have to be repaid at some point, and that does impact taxes. It also includes authorization for localities to impose a lot of new taxes and increased taxes in Northern Virginia and in Hampton Roads. Some of those have to do with increased what they would call fees for driver's licenses in Northern Virginia and in Hampton Roads. There's also new recordation taxes increases that would be there in both of those areas that are being authorized to be imposed by the local governments if they so choose. There's a significant increase in lodging tax that is part of the package in the Hampton Roads area. And there are numerous fees, and sometimes, you know, there's a distinction made between fees and taxes, but the bottom line to those who pay them typically is that it's something that you pay out of your pocket to the government.
Right.
So
right.
There's not a whole lot of difference there.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, the House bill also increases significantly in the area of what are referred to as abuser fees, but I've had some concerns about that because you're talking about individuals that do break the law as far as driving violations, but it increases significantly the fees that you pay if you happen to violate the law in some manner, and it also increases registration fees for particularly commercial vehicles. It increases taxes on commercial properties, I think, in both areas. So, yes, it raises a significant amount of money, and all of that has to – it also authorizes impact fees, as I may have indicated there earlier, which can also add to the cost of housing in those areas where the impact fees are levied.
My guest is Senator Emmett Hanger. A couple of questions for you. Last week we spoke with Jim Bacon of the Bacon's Rebellion blog, one of the more cerebral blogs in Virginia that really digs into the policy implications.
Right. They do a good job.
And Jim was saying, you know, what he liked about Senator Chichester's plan is it was out front. It said, look, there's a tax on gas because we have to pay for the roads.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it. You know you're paying it. And he said that, you know, the other plan that has made it through and is now in the Senate – sort of hides the taxes, and it spreads them around, and it buries a little here, and it buries a little there, and he just didn't want folks to think that there weren't any taxes in there.
Right, right.
Which I'm sure you would agree with.
No, in fact, that's a good observation from him, because I believe, as I've read some of his commentary in his publication, that he has actually put more focus on growth management tools as opposed to raising additional money. So he's very correct that the one is just kind of putting it out front. We need this amount of money, and here's how we raise it. One of the continuing concerns that I've had with initially the proposal that the governor made, and now this proposal that's coming from the House, is that it imposes the new taxes and fees for the most part just on Virginians. Now, there are some instances, you know, lodging tax and some other areas where we can say, well, some of it will come from those who are traveling in our state and using our roads. But it, you know, when you get right down to it, the best tax is a direct user fee, in my opinion, which could be placed directly on the use of the roads. And in that respect, I like tolls, reasonable tolls that are placed on these high-cost bridges, tunnels, roads where there's very extreme high density,
right.
That pay for those projects.
Senator, do you think that the $250 million that in the current package would have to come out of the general fund, is that a deal breaker, or are we going to see some type of compromise where it might be 100 or 150?
It potentially could be a deal breaker, depending on whether folks on both sides dig their heels in. I have a problem myself personally because it's a two-way street. There's much mention been made of monies being taken out of the transportation trust fund being used for the general fund, but you can also make that argument the other direction. We really, as elected representatives, need to maintain latitude to use taxpayer dollars in an appropriate and efficient manner. So when you're putting in place a mechanism for capturing general fund dollars to fund transportation, then you are essentially causing a long-term problem in that those monies that fall to the bottom line being automatically allocated over to transportation will cause us budgeting problems, significant budget problems, as we move down the road. We, you know, it's our responsibility to extract and extract only those monies that are necessary for government. But when you put it kind of on automatic pilot like that, you begin to develop a web of activities, kind of like they have at the federal level, where you remove discretion from those you elect to make decisions.
Mm-hmm,
and I
mm-hmm.
think that's where we find our federal budget right now, in that it's very heavily laden with debt. There is no way, it's virtually impossible to balance the budget, and they've given themselves very little discretion because they've, over a period of time, adopted things where things were allocated automatically. Well, you can't touch that because it's not discretionary. And so at any rate, I see that's part of this House package that's a little bit troubling to me, in that we are essentially building those types of things into our Virginia budget, debt and decisions that are made, which put the budget on more on automatic pilot rather than us coming here, having a conversation with the voters and deciding what they want us to do and then doing it. As opposed to putting it in statute and then having it happen automatically.
My guest is Senator Emmett Hanger. Sort of makes you scratch your head and wonder, you know, these are Republicans, and the Republicans were the ones who you believed when I was growing up. They stood for fiscal responsibility first and foremost, and they were the ones who were disciplined when it came to the purse. And we're not seeing that.
Well, I have been fairly vocal on that, and I intend to be more vocal on that, in that it's fiscal responsibility is one of the major tenets of the Republican Party here in Virginia and at the national level. But it's become more a cry of being anti-tax, and I think anti-tax ultimately, if you take it full circle, is actually has to be anti-government. I think conservative individuals recognize that there are legitimate government services, and we want them provided efficiently and as cost-effectively as possible. But if you are strictly anti-tax and that's your only parameter, then you know it's a small step to becoming anti-government, and then of course that leads to anarchy, and is a very extreme position. So I would hope that we don't fall victim to that here in Virginia. We've seen our federal government go that direction, and in fact, one of the big problems I have right now. I'm a strong supporter of the war in Iraq. You know, if it needs to be expanded to a war in Iran in order to protect our freedom and our interests in the world, you know, I would be supportive of that. But what troubles me greatly is that we're only asking the individuals that are over there and in their families to make the sacrifice. We are not willing to pay for this war. We're borrowing the money to buy the bullets from the Chinese, and ultimately that weakens us, and I do not think that's fiscally responsible.
Well, to the rest of us, it's a program on the news or a cocktail party debate.
You're exactly right.
Senator Emmett Hanger is our guest. We've got about a minute or two left, probably not enough time for this, but I did want to applaud you for Senate Bill 1212, which would really put Virginia's children first and Virginia schools first when it comes to the No Child Left Behind Act, a federal plan. And tell us briefly the idea behind this and its mission.
Legislation, of course, came to be at the federal level and in 2001, was implemented initially beginning in 2002, which has as its premise that essentially all children that go through our public school systems will be equal in output. And I think there are two problems that I have in general with the concept of No Child Left Behind. One is it's a large intrusion of the federal government into what is a state's rights. So you have the federalism issue, and they've not provided adequate funding to pay for the implications of it. The second is the concept itself, in that I feel very strongly that, you know, we need to provide equal opportunity in our educational system, but there is no way that you can mandate equal outputs. So that's where the debate is. The bill essentially challenges the federal government a bit in that it requests our Board of Education to move forward with additional waivers based on our own standards of learning program here in Virginia, which we do need to change some of those as well, but we can manage that at the state level much more adequately. And then it calls upon our congressional representatives to seek some common sense changes in the law when it goes to reauthorization this year. And then it basically indicates that if the federal government withholds funds from Virginia that are punitive in nature rather than an integral part of No Child Left Behind, causes us to do things unnecessarily, then perhaps we would file suit. And it authorizes the board to use the attorney general then to file suit against the federal government. It's kind of saber rattling in part, but I think we need to make points and need to make them very strongly, because the federal government is in effect requiring the states, all states, to spend money that I do not think they have the constitutional authority to do. And of course, it impacts to the bottom line in that our taxpayers have to foot the bill.
Senator Emmett Hanger represents Virginia's 24th district in the Virginia Senate. Thank you, sir, so much for your time. We appreciate it, and we appreciate your service to the Commonwealth.
Well, thank you. I enjoy talking with you.
Take care.
Bye.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.